Hi, everyone. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and welcome to the Steven Universe podcast. We're coming at you from the writer's room of Steven Universe at Cartoon Network Studios in Burbank, California. This podcast is your all-access pass to one of my favorite shows, Steven Universe, and I'm so excited today to have two very special guests. They need almost no introduction. I've got Zach Callison, who voices the title character, Steven Universe, and Grace Rolick, who voices Steven's best friend, Connie. They're sitting right here with me. Thank you guys both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So when you guys started, you guys are, you've been voice acting forever, right? Pretty much?
It's been like 7 years or so for me.
Got you.
Which is
an eternity.
Forever, yeah.
Over 10 years for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's cool. So like when you started, you guys were, how old then were you guys? Like,
I was 7, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I started voice acting after I started on camera acting, so I was like 11 or 12.
Oh,
I think.
So it was like, okay, cool. But yeah. I
started with on camera as well, but oh. I mean, I started on camera acting when I was 4, so,
oh,
so I was initiated into the
right.
industry pretty young.
Yeah.
Grace's been running the game for a long time.
That's awesome. I love it. So when you guys, how old were you when you started Steven? Like, how much experience did you?
I was 14
gotcha.
When we did the pilot, and
gotcha.
Then there was a long gap of time before we recorded again.
I believe I had just turned 15, I think.
Cool. What guys, did you guys, like, watch a bunch of cartoons and stuff like that when you were...
Oh, totally. I was a huge Adventure Time fan before
oh.
I started working on the show.
Nice.
Yeah, I grew up on Cartoon Network and PBS Kids. Those are the two. Because I got PBS Kids at home. My dad didn't want to pay
right.
for the additional cable when I was younger. So when I go to my grandparents, I would watch Codename Kids Next Door, Dexter's, Powerpuff Girls, and then shows like Clifford the Big Red Dog and Arthur when I was younger.
I love
so,
it.
Yeah.
Arthur is a classic. I still
oh,
watch
yeah.
Arthur every day. Every day.
Less Arthur memes for
yes,
bringing that back.
Keeping it going.
So
keeping
many.
The legacy alive.
It's honestly, I don't know what about it makes it have such potent memes, but there's so many.
Very memeable.
Yeah.
DW is just so rude.
Yeah. I feel like that has that's a big part of it probably. So like, you know, you've talked about like the process of, you know, you audition and get the part, but like, do you guys remember where you were when you got the news that you got the part and like how you reacted?
I remember screaming in my living room. My mom gave me a call. She wasn't home, but she had gotten a call from my agent, and I just started screaming and like jumping up and down, just, you know, the normal reaction
yes.
that you'd have to that sort of thing.
You gotta, right?
Mine, I don't remember the particular moment I booked the pilot, but I do remember 10 months after we recorded the pilot, I came back to do ADR pickups
mm-hmm.
for audio on the pilot.
So what's that? What's that mean?
It's additional dialogue replacement.
Oh.
So you go back in, they play like 3 beeps, sync it up to picture, and you voice like as your character's moving their mouth to try and match it for
gotcha.
Any mistakes or like technical errors on recordings. But we went back in, and I'm in the middle of, like, signing the contract for the session, and all of a sudden, the studio teacher's like, oh, I heard the show got picked up. Congratulations. I look up like, what? Wait a minute.
What?
And then 3 months later, we were recording the first session, and the show's been, like, so many surprises, because first, I didn't know that it got picked up. I didn't really know, like, how big the fan response was going to be, and then it just
right.
kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's definitely been a series of revelations over the course of the run of the show.
That's really cool. It's like you just sort of jump in without really knowing that much about what you're getting into, I guess, like, because you just got the part, you're like, okay,
yeah,
guess I'm doing this now.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was just thrown in, and it was an awesome surprise to see that I was actually really passionate about the show I was working
right.
on, and I loved the writing, and I got along great with everyone else on the show, like this guy over here sitting next
you're
to
all
me.
Right. Well, actors, we're mercenaries, like, I mean... We go in on any show, especially when you're starting out, like, work is work. But, you know, to be on a show that blew up like this and really, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities in my career, to have it also be a show that I love to death and enjoy working on, it's not everyone is so fortunate. So I love that.
Right. It's just, yeah, that's awesome. So, like, you guys, like, you talk about growing up with cartoons, but you guys kind of grew up with the characters too, right? Like, with Steven and Connie, because you guys sort of... Yeah, I mean, you guys were just kids when you got the part.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like,
I mean, I pretty much went through high school playing Connie. I auditioned in my freshman year, and then I started working in my sophomore year, and then the show came out in my junior year, and then it started picking up speed in senior year. So that was just my adolescence, like acclimating to this new crazy experience that I got to be a part of.
Right.
You know, oftentimes a lot of cartoons will hire adults to play kids, and you know, they're really good at it. But I think Rebecca purposely, Ian told me this a while back, they liked that I was just a kid.
Yeah.
And I think that choice, not just for like the life of Steven, you know, having that childlike wonder, but also they knew that Steven would have this arc as the show went on, and having someone that actually grew up sort of unintentionally, subconsciously really played into the development of Steven and has taught me a lot about the craft.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, like, that they choose, because a lot of times, like you said, they'll choose, like, an adult, like, woman to play the, you know, 12-year-old kid, because, right, like, it's convenient that their voice isn't going to change, and, like, they're going to stay the same, so if the show's going to go on for, like, 30 seasons or something, you know.
Voice changes, what?
Yeah, what? You know a little bit about that, right? So, like, talk about, what was it like when your voice was changing and you had to adapt to the part? What was that?
It's terrifying.
Okay.
It's terrifying.
Bad.
Like, you have this instrument that I've been singing since I was 7, and my voice didn't change until I was 15 or so, so I had 7 or 8 years of knowing exactly what I could do with my voice, and suddenly it's like you're wiping your settings on a computer, and everything's factory default, and it's really like bad at its job.
Yeah,
and that's what it was for about a year. I didn't really know, like, you know, how to avoid voice cracks, and I had to go back to my vocal teacher like 2 or 3 times a week just to, you know, get the range back. But right, it was also very, you know, it made me nervous in the studio because I felt like I couldn't, you know, perform to the best of my ability. That was a stressful period for me.
Mm-hmm. Because you just have to keep going in every week or whatever, right? Yeah, like, just continuing to...
Yeah, but the beauty of Steven is that he's actually aged as the show has gone on, so it aids rather than, mm-hmm, you know, hurt the development of the character. And, you know, you don't always get that opportunity.
Right. So. I think that's really cool that, like, it's sort of... Because a lot of the times, like, if you look at a show like Gumball or something, they've had, like, a bunch of different actors play the part because, you know, they'll grow up and the voice changes and...
Right. They live in a universe where it's, you know, you have to keep it consistent because, mm-hmm, it's that's the format.
Right, yeah. And it's a totally different... It's a totally different story with Steven. I think that's really cool. So as your characters sort of have gone through these arcs, what do you think has been... like the most defining, like for Steven and for Connie, what are like the most defining moments for them? Like, what do you think, a decision they made or something they did that like that's what they are, you know?
I believe for Connie, the biggest thing was her starting to fight alongside Steven and learning how to sword fight.
Right.
And I think if you look at Connie's character arc, she started out as a much more insecure, less aware, or not even like less aware of her inner strength,
right,
and through training with Pearl and episodes like Soren to the Sword, she was
classic,
able to I'm a fan of that one. But she was able to embrace her inner strength and be able to say, yes, I'm a human, but that doesn't make me inferior to Steven. Like, I can still be just as strong, and like I've found my self-worth.
I love that so much. I remember we were in your car the other day, and song came on, and you were like, oh, no.
Yeah, I have a couple of songs from the soundtrack saved on my phone, mm-hmm, and every once in a while when I'm driving with a friend, one of my songs will come on, and I'm like, I'm just going to skip that because I don't want my friends to think that I'm listening to myself sing in the car when I'm driving.
I feel that. But they're so good, though.
Right, and also it feels cool to see your name,
right,
come up, and you're like, oh, wow,
there
that
I
is
am.
Me.
After the soundtrack dropped, I was like, ooh, I have a Spotify page.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think for Steven, the moment? Can you think of any?
Yeah, I mean, speaking on a more general level, I think that when he really started to... Because he's been, you know, emotionally maturing and taking more responsibilities. The show's gone on. That's his main through line.
Right.
But... as a point of diversion was when he realized that Rose was not who he thought she was, or, mm-hmm, who he had idealized her as. And Storm in the Room, it really came to head in that episode.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites for that part of Steven's conscience.
Still recovering emotionally from that episode, honestly.
Oh, it's awful. It's like this mix of uncanny valley and like loss and grief. Mm-hmm. And he's trying so hard to make it real, and he just knows the whole time that it isn't, but he's pretending. And that really encapsulates that entire arc for him.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
heavy stuff.
Yeah. So like, as far as you talked about the characters changing, how has like the playing the characters, do you think it's like challenged like you guys or changed you as the show's gone on? Like other than like, you know, just stuff like now I have a Wikipedia article or something, you know, like or like but like changed you as a person, you know?
Working with Rebecca and the crew particularly and working on something that's so, you know, so artistically driven, it has taught me a lot about artistry. When I was a kid, I was an actor because it was really fun and I loved performing. Now for me, it's like everything that I do is about artistic expression and like what is your art doing for people and what messages it's sending. Like all of that was something I learned from being on the show.
Right.
And being in close proximity to it for so long in such formative years.
I agree completely. I mean, I think being surrounded by a team that cares so deeply about the project and the work in Steven Universe and the universe of Steven Universe is so inspiring to be around. And being with Rebecca Sugar and just seeing how much passion she puts into it is really, it inspires you to take that into whatever projects you do from here on out and say, I want to put 110% to everything I do just like this. And I think specifically with my relationship to playing Connie, her coming out of her shell is a very adolescent experience because you kind of realize like, oh, I'm not a kid anymore. What does this mean? How do I be a grown up? And then you realize, oh, I don't have to stifle like who I am to act mature. I can embrace like my childlike side, but deal with a lot more heavy concepts and with weightier outcomes, obstacles that adults have to face on the regular.
Yeah, I feel like you have to have both sides, you know, to be able to cope with any of that, right?
Right.
You have to have the.
And I love that still with dealing with the heavy stuff that Steven's dealing with, realizing who his mother actually was, him and Connie still get to be kids sometimes.
Right.
There are episodes where they just go on fun adventures and goof off.
Yeah. 11 minutes of just having a good time.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's why Steven and Connie need each other so much in each other's lives, because, you know, when we met Connie, she was, you know, under an extreme supervision by her parents and was living that very adult life at a very young age, and Steven was because of his responsibility. So it really is a good dynamic.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I feel like the thing you said about Rebecca too, I felt that just being here even just for a short time, it's like I feel like every time I come in here I'm like, I'm inspired. I wanna make something, you know? Like I wanna do that. That's really cool. Okay, cool. Yeah. I wanna keep talking about this. We're gonna talk more about working on the show right after this.
What's up, Doc?
What's up is that Boomerang is the best place for kids and parents to watch their favorite cartoons.
Zoinks!
And Boomerang is the only place for Scooby-Doo.
Anybody have a Scooby snack?
Looney Tunes.
Duck season. Rabbit season.
And so much more.
Well, that don't beat all.
Just go to Boomerang.com or download the app to start your free trial now.
Okay, yeah, we're back with Zach and Grace. Thank you guys again for being here. So I want to jump in and ask, I think about this a lot. What is it like when you guys see the finished, like, episodes? Is it like a deja vu? Like, I remember recording that, or do you not remember it at all? Or are you like, oh, this makes so much more sense
in
context? Yeah?
It's really interesting because there is a pretty substantial chunk of time between recording and actually seeing the episode come out, just because every episode has to get animated and edited. But seeing everything come together and you see, you hear the music that was made for the episode, it's, you almost get sucked in and you're like, I mean, I usually remember at least vaguely, right. But there's still like a little surprise in there. There's always something that I wasn't there with every single person voice acting for the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's always entertaining for me to see. I never skip watching a new episode. Sometimes I have to DVR and catch up a little later, but I always make sure I stay with what's currently airing.
I got you. That's
stay
cool.
up to date.
Yeah.
It's also the first time we ever see color in the storyboards, the animatics, anything. They're all in black and white until the episode comes out for us. Because once they're, you know, doing their coloring, that's like way past our part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And it's so, like, there's all these different color schemes and you're like, oh, that's what that character's supposed to look like. What? You know?
The show really uses color exceptionally well, and it's very vibrant. And, you know, we sort of have to imagine that when we're in the studio, and it's nice to be able to see the finished product eventually, because, like she said, there's a huge gap.
It takes a while,
And you forget minor details, too, sometimes. Like, oh, I remember that line. I did, like, 17 takes of that.
Right, I got you. So, like, you're talking about, like, the process of the record and stuff like that, so I want to talk more about that. Like, what's it like just being in the actual studio? Like, I remember... You talk about how you wave your hands around like a crazy person a lot of the time. Like, do you wave your hands around?
Oh, yeah. Especially when I have to do any efforts, like if I'm running or if I'm fighting, I'm always just swinging my arms around.
Right.
And it also helps because you have to move your body a little bit. Otherwise, it won't sound like your character is. If your character is jumping up on a monster and swinging your sword, then if you're just standing like a plank, it's not gonna sound realistic.
Right. Yeah. You have to.
It's very method. You have to
very method.
Become
yes.
the character.
Yes.
I love watching people like John DiMaggio do all of that brilliantly while seated. I've never understood.
Do they?
A lot of those guys that have been around forever and are really good at what they do, they just sit the whole time.
Oh my God.
Kevin Michael Richardson is another one. He usually sits in the studio, and it's like, how do you have that much power and energy from a studio position?
I can't imagine that. I mean, even today, there are a couple of times where I accidentally jumped a little bit and my feet made a noise, and they're like, okay, we need to do that again. Can you not move as much?
Calm down, Grace.
Coming with a sword.
Into it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm method.
I went and took like fencing lessons.
Oh my gosh.
Not actually.
I love it.
I actually had a gem implanted in my belly button.
Oh, good.
Figured I couldn't, you know, do the character justice with that.
Right, you have
that level of commitment.
Yeah, I totally understand. Is it tough to, like, I remember you talked about, is it tough to keep your schedule consistent so you can go in? Like, how often do you guys see yourself going into the booth just to record?
I usually am in weekly when we're, you know, in full swing with recording. You know, I've always blocked out Wednesday is my day.
Right.
And I'm always here whenever I can, so I don't miss ensemble records. But, you know, everything around that, it's been very busy lately. I'm working on a ton of other stuff right now. So I always have to make sure I keep my Tuesday nights free.
Right, yeah.
Get some sleep.
To make sure, I got you.
It was a little bit different when I was out of town for school. But since I've been back, I keep my Wednesdays free and clear. But it depends on where... the plot is at. So there are some times where I'm in like 3 weeks in a row. Sometimes it's every other week, or sometimes it's bigger gaps, but it depends.
Right. So I'm going to ask about the characters real quick, what you think about the characters. This is a question that has weighed on my mind. Do you think that Connie or Steven would read fan fiction? Not about the show, but just like in general.
Totally.
Connie would... be such a fangirl.
Connie would write it.
Oh, she yeah, no,
oh, totally.
Connie would write it, definitely. I think Connie would find a fanfic and then be like, I take issue. I don't think that that was very canon. Let me rework this plot a little bit. And she'd get out her like laptop or notebook or whatever she'd have and get going. Maybe she'd even write it with a quill. I don't know.
Oh, my
I could totally see Steven just like chilling in bed reading Lonely Blade, Crying Breakfast Friends crossover fanfiction.
I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of video games do you think they would play?
RPGs. Totally RPGs, yeah.
I always thought Steven might play Nintendogs or something. Just like, he's like,
I feel like Connie would love puzzle or strategy games.
Yeah.
Like anything that really works out her brain that she's got. Because she's got a good brain.
She has a good brain. She's got it.
I raise you Peridot playing Nintendogs.
Yes.
Why won't it listen to me?
When you have the, I remember you could like record your voice like doing the tricks, and you could like say it whatever intonation you wanted.
That is a YouTube video right there.
That would be gold.
He's showing it in here right now.
Yeah.
Making this a reality. That's awesome. So like, what's it like seeing the fan response, because a lot of these things are stuff that, like, you know, fanfics and stuff like that. What's it like seeing the fan response to the show after, like you said, it was very surprising at first, but, like, today, like, what do you think? What do you think? What are you thinking?
Humbling, man.
Yeah, I mean, my routine for the first couple seasons of the show was to go online and read almost every episode review and everything that the fans were saying about everything, because I wanted to be super immersed in the universe. And then school picked up and stuff, and I didn't really have the same amount of downtime to put in that effort, but still
also too high of a volume anymore.
Right. When it first started, it was like, oh, let me go check out the subreddit. And
back when it was like 2,000 people.
But still, even to this day, just when people tell me that they watch the show, I mean, I'll meet someone and I'll tell them that I work on the show, and they'll be like, I love that show. And I'm like, so humbled and grateful to be part of something that so many people are so passionate about being a part of.
And to add on to that, hearing when people have been positively affected by the show, if it's, you know, they say they were in a dark place and they listened to the show and it really helped them, I hear that all the time from people, and obviously I can't take credit for that. I mean, the show is Rebecca and the Crooniverse's baby, but just being able to say I contributed to that and I was part of that project that, you know, helped not one person but all these people out, that's amazing.
Yeah, I hear stories like that all the time, too. I think the show means so much to so many people. It's really inspiring, honestly. So one thing I'm thinking about, too, is since we're talking about the fan response, what kind of advice would you have for younger actors who are looking to get into voice acting, like if there's people listening?
Dee Bradley Baker, who plays Lion on our show, and literally every animal and creature.
Yeah, he's next level.
Has a website called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com.
Yeah.
And it's a very comprehensive resource, you know, across the board for getting into it. But on a more general note, I mean, theater really helped me get into the business. It helped me with voiceover later on, although I didn't know it at the time that that's what I was working towards. But that's a big thing, and you can do it anywhere. It's community theater, school theater. There's always some place that will be looking for you.
Also, for me, I would say just on a practical level, read out loud. Like if you're reading a book, read out loud. Just get used to reading lines and do tongue twisters and just keep your mouth in shape. But also on a more emotional, mental level, you have to be tenacious, and you have to, if it's your dream, you gotta fight for it. Because it can be tough to get your foot in the door, but if you work hard and you don't give up, then I mean, how are you going to get anywhere?
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. For the next segment, we are going to have two very special guests, completely separate from Zach and Grace. We're going to have Steven and Connie on the show. So that's very exciting. Looking forward to that. So we'll get right back to that right after this. All right, guys, I'm joined by Steven and Connie. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Hi.
No problem.
Okay, cool. So I have a few questions for you guys, if you don't mind. Can I just jump right into them and everything? Is that good?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So first off, what kind of superpowers would you want if you could choose anything? And that's not including the powers like the healing and stuff like that. Other stuff.
Teleportation, because then my big donut runs would be like 30 seconds instead of 10 minutes. Sorry. And I could go see Lars more often.
Yes.
I would want to be invisible. I feel like that would be really helpful with my sword fighting. They wouldn't be able to see me coming in here. Also, I could probably sneak into the library after hours.
Ooh.
It would probably help tennis, too.
Oh, that's true. That's definitely true.
I feel like that might be considered cheating if you're if you're actually invisible when you're playing tennis. But, you know, we'll make it work. We can make it work. So are you the kind of person who puts pineapple on your pizza? What's your opinion on this whole conflict right now?
I'm not a fan.
No?
It scares me.
I feel that. I feel the same way. It's kind of horrifying.
I just feel like if you look at molecular gastronomy, the flavor combinations and the flavor profiles just aren't consistent.
They just don't make sense. I feel the same way.
That's a good point, Connie. I think I know what that means.
Yes, exactly. Okay, cool. This is a classic question I have for you guys. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
It would be easier to fight the 100.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to see a horse-sized duck.
I hear that.
Really, really want to see one.
I think I agree with Steven on that one. Horse-sized duck.
Horse-sized duck. Horse-sized duck.
Okay. I hear you. Makes sense. That makes sense. I see your reasoning. I was wondering, would you rather see a Lonely Blade crossover with Crying Breakfast Friends or with Camp Pining Hearts?
Oh, no.
I see this Crying Breakfast Friends.
This is a hard question. Camp Pining Hearts.
Yeah?
For the drama.
Oh, okay.
It's because Steven loves schmaltz. Camp Pining Hearts is so campy.
Yeah, but that's why I like it. It's melodrama.
Don't let Peridot hear you.
And Peridot and I could binge watch it.
Right.
She won't watch anything else.
It's great binge watching material.
I'll just be over in the corner reading Unfamiliar Familiar for the 700th time.
You're missing out.
Okay, cool. So this is something I've thought about. Do you think that it would make sense to install a doorbell on your dad's van? What do you think about that?
It would be more practical to wake him up.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he needs it. Or maybe an air horn.
Yeah, the both would work. It seems like he takes a little bit of time sometimes to respond to the knocking, you know?
He always gets up eventually.
Yeah, I feel that. That's me in the morning, too. I totally understand. So one thing I have been wondering is, what's the weirdest place that you have ever found onion?
Oh. And strangely enough, in his house. I've only actually seen him there like one time, and it was really weird.
Oh, yeah?
I would tell the story, but I think a lot of you already know it. So.
Oh, yeah? We don't need to rehash. I hear you.
He has a secret room.
Yeah. That's kind of horrifying. I don't want to know what goes on in there.
Mm-mm. Nope.
What about you?
Okay, well, one time when I was visiting Steven's dad, I saw him at It's a Wash inside the washing machine.
Like hanging off one of the brushes?
Yeah.
Like while it was active or?
Yes. It was like a roller coaster ride for him.
Okay. That sounds horrifying, but you do you, Onion. You live
he
your
always
life.
Does him.
Onion is a thrill seeker.
That's fair. I feel that.
He enjoys himself.
Yeah.
He has a good time.
I can't blame him, honestly. One other question I have is, does Stevani, when you guys fuse into Stevani, do you think that, have you guys tried this out? Does Stevani have your combined video game skills? Like, do you think, have you tried that? Or?
Yeah, we've tried it.
Yeah?
Tons of times.
Okay.
I couldn't beat the last level of the new Lonely Blade game until we fused.
Oh, yeah? then it's a breeze?
Oh, yeah. We killed it.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
We have better reaction times.
Nice. Okay.
And APMs.
Oh. I don't know what I don't know what that means, actually, but I...
It's actions per minute. You know, when you're, like, playing a strategy game,
gotcha.
And you gotta click a lot to beat your opponent.
Mash
a
button?
Mm-hmm.
Mash button power. Okay, that's incredible.
I'm good at it, but Stevani's great at it.
Gotcha. That seems like it'd be coming handy. I have faced a lot of levels where I would like to have that kind of power. Another question. Have you guys ever used Garnet's hair as a pillow or wanted to?
Yeah, she doesn't let me very often, but it is very comfortable.
I haven't had the honor.
You haven't? But you would if you...
I would
if the opportunity arose?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, last question I have is, what is the biggest mess you've ever had to hide from Pearl?
Mm.
Or what's the best way to clean up fast if Pearl's coming? Like, Either one.
Fuse into Stefani?
Oh, yeah. Cover twice the ground. I mean, we're small children, but as Stefani, we're almost a fully grown, tall human being.
Yeah, you can just go.
Fusion.
And when we're Stefani, Pro can't get as mad at us because she doesn't know who did what.
So she's just like,
It's a bit of a wild card situation.
I hear you. That seems like a great... See, you have the video game. There's a lot of perks to fusing into Stefani.
Definitely.
I feel like, and in a variety of situations.
Fusion's the greatest!
Yeah.
Yeah, fusion!
Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming. It's been really cool talking to you.
Well, thank you for having us. It was really fun.
Yeah, I had a great time talking with you. I'm going to go study now, though.
All right, later.
Bye.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode. Thanks again to Zach Callison and Grace Rolek and to Stephen and Connie. It was so much fun to have them all on the show. Join me next Thursday as we talk and meet with some of the storyboard artists and directors behind Stephen Universe. We'll find out what they do, how the creative process works, and what inspires them. And remember, if you guys have any questions about the show or for the Crooniverse, including show creator Rebecca Sugar, please hit me up on Twitter at MKIwood or the Cartoon Network official Twitter and use the hashtag StephenUniversePodcast. We'll try to answer as many of them as we can. And if you hadn't hit the subscribe button yet for the Stephen Universe podcast, you can do that at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. If you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'll see you next Thursday.